You're listening to the Food Nation Radio Network with Elizabeth Doherty. This is not your typical food show. We're talking about the politics of food, the corruption of our food supply, and what you can do to stand and fight back. Download the TuneIn app for your smartphone and call your local station to ask that they carry the Food Nation Radio Network with Elizabeth Doherty. Now, once again, here's Elizabeth.
Hey, everybody, we're back. You're listening to the Food Nation Radio Network. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. We're talking with attorney Stephen Drucker. He is a public interest attorney who founded the Alliance for Biointegrity. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be with you.
I understand you've written a book about genetically modified food.
Well, I'm in the process of writing the book, and it's due out in the first part of next year.
And why did you decide to write this book?
Well, because I wanted to set the record straight. There is such a massive mountain of misrepresentation about these foods that has been issued for decades, and not just by the biotech industry, that would be expected, but much more troubling by our own Food and Drug Administration and by eminent scientists and scientific institutions who've been behaving like political spin doctors or executives for cigarette companies, tobacco companies. So I'm setting the record straight. It's called Altered Genes, Twisted Truth, How the Venture to Genetically Engineer Our Food Has Subverted Science, Corrupted Government, and Systematically Deceived the Public.
Now, you served on food safety panels at conferences conducted by the National Research Council and the FDA. And what was your experience when you did that?
Well, I know the FDA's experience wasn't very pleasant when I did that because I called them on their lies and their irresponsible behavior in public. And it was a well-attended public meeting, actually, in Washington, D.C. It was also broadcast live by C-SPAN and then rebroadcast several times. So many people heard it, and there were top executives from the FDA there, and I basically read documents right from their own files that a lawsuit that I initiated, my organization initiated, against the FDA had forced into the open. And the FDA's files show that they've been lying to the world consistently since 1992, and that they allowed all of these genetically engineered foods onto the market with full knowledge that they are illegal on the market unless each one is carefully proven safe through rigorous scientific testing. And they knew they had no such data, and they knew that there was not a scientific consensus that they're safe, and yet they proclaimed that they can be presumed generally recognized as safe. That is still the sole legal basis for the presence of genetically engineered foods on the U.S. market. The FDA's fraudulent claim that they're generally recognized as safe, and I have to emphasize, the FDA's own files show that they knew that there was not a scientific consensus when they issued their policy, and they knew that they had no hard evidence to back it up, and they knew that both of those criteria are required by law, and yet they basically covered all of that up, proclaimed in public that there was a consensus, that they had no knowledge that these foods differ in any meaningful or uniform way, and then let them on the market. And they are continue to be on the market absent any of the basic scientific safeguards that the law mandates. And the FDA won't even label them.
Now, when you say illegal, what specifically do you mean? Do you mean there's a specific regulation that they're breaking?
Yes. Well, there's a statute. It's probably the oldest and most venerable consumer protection statute in our nation, the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. And in 1958, that act was amended to strengthen it, to take account of the fact that there was had been a slew of new chemical additives coming into our food that really did not have history of safe use, and in fact, many of them had been newly concocted in chemistry labs, and Congress decided prior to that time that the burden of proof was on the FDA to show that a new additive is dangerous. After that point, the burden of proof shifted so that the onus is on the manufacturer of a new additive to demonstrate that that additive is safe, yet to a reasonable certainty that it will not create harm for its intended purposes.
Well, I've read the applications for some of these foods, and there is no testing. It's the fox watching the hen house.
That's right. And the point is, though, that statute says that these foods have to be demonstrated safe, that the foods with new additives have to be demonstrated safe through standard scientific procedures. And the FDA has promulgated regulations to basically concretize that more fully. Those regulations now have the force of that statute, making it very clear that part of what needs to happen is this scientific testing, scientific procedures, that the testing should be ordinarily of the kind that could be published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. But as you've just mentioned, the FDA doesn't have any such testing for any of the genetically engineered foods they've allowed on the market.
I'll be quite honest with you. I get very tired of people showing up on our website and our Facebook page saying the things you're saying were not peer-reviewed. Well, the reason they're not peer-reviewed is there's no funding for actual testing that is not by one of the companies making the food.
That's right. The companies do the testing. They submit the data they want to the FDA. It's all voluntary. They don't submit the really extensive data. It's their own summaries. The FDA has admitted explicitly that they are not conducting genuine scientific reviews of these foods. Now, many of their spokespeople will try to pretend that they are. The FDA is basically speaking with forked tongue, as the old saying goes.
Yes.
They try to make it seem that there's a scientific review going on and these foods have all passed rigorous safety testing. And on the other hand, when push comes to shove, they admit they're not doing any scientific reviews at all. And the latter statement is the truth. They are not conducting any scientific reviews. It's a rubber stamp, and nobody even has to notify the FDA if they're going to dump a genetically engineered food on our market. There could be unconscionable laboratories or manufacturers anywhere in the world that have been testing a genetically engineered crop. It hasn't worked out well, but they've got a whole lot of product, and hey, why not just send it over to the U.S.? We do not have to even tell them it's genetically engineered. And according to the FDA's own policy, nobody has to even tell them. So we don't even know. The FDA has no idea the extent of GMOs that have been dumped on our food market.
Exactly. And that's one of my major concerns about things like the Kumato that was developed in Europe by Syngenta and then sent over here. I don't know how people can say that's not a genetically modified product, because when I called Syngenta, no one wanted to discuss that with me, which made me very concerned. But you sued the FDA.
Yes, I organized a lawsuit that the Alliance for Biointegrity spearheaded as the main plaintiff that was filed in May of 1998.
Now, procedurally, how did you do that?
Well, we basically organized and filed a lawsuit. We didn't need more plaintiffs than the Alliance for Biointegrity, it turned out. At the time, we thought we might for standing, and we had a large plaintiff group comprised of plaintiffs who had filed formal comments to the FDA criticizing their 1992 policy when it was still open for official notice and comment. So we had standing, and there were other public interest groups that joined, and in an unprecedented move, 9 well-credentialed life scientists joined our lawsuit as plaintiffs. The first time in U.S. history that a group of scientists had joined a lawsuit against a federal administrative agency as plaintiffs. Not as expert witnesses,
right,
but as plaintiffs alleging that the policy was scientifically unsound. That was the first. And the mere filing of the suit proved that there was not general consensus of safety within the scientific community. Because according to law, according to case law, if you've got 9 well-credentialed experts who say they haven't seen evidence that foods containing certain additives are safe, then they can't be generally recognized as safe. So the very fact we filed the lawsuit proved these foods were illegally on the market and that the FDA is lying.
Now, this was a federal lawsuit filed against the FDA.
Yes.
And jurisdictionally, where did you do this?
We filed it in U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia.
Okay.
Anyway, that court usually handles so many suits against federal agencies. And also because the attorneys of record were with the International Center for Technology Assessment, of a very fine public interest group that is in Washington, D.C., They had the expertise in such lawsuits. They were interested in the suit, wanted to become the attorneys of record, and so they were the attorneys of record, and I participated. I organized the lawsuit, organized the bulk of the plaintiffs, then participated as a lawyer on the suit, working in collaboration with the ICTA legal staff. One of the first things that happened in the lawsuit was the FDA was forced to hand over 44,000 pages of its internal documents on genetically engineered food.
Wow.
And I was the lawyer who went through all of those, and there are memo after memo demonstrating, showing that the FDA scientists were warning about the unique risks of genetically engineered foods and warning that as a scientific matter they have to be tested, not just a legal matter. And 24 key documents are posted on our website, www.biointegrity.org.
Excellent.
So people don't have to take my word for it. The FDA's fraud is, their dirty laundry is hanging out in public.
So the entire generally recognized as safe in this regard is essentially not true.
Nope, they are not generally recognized as safe, never have been and still are not, and the FDA always knew it and they still know it, and yet they're lying through their teeth in claiming that they are generally recognized as safe. And again, I need to emphasize, when you cut through all the gibberish and all the smokescreen, the sole purported legal basis for the presence of genetically engineered foods on the U.S. market today is the FDA's fraudulent claim that they're generally recognized as safe.
What I never understood about the FDA is, you know, you have all these labeling requirements, yet they have gone out of their way to make sure other products are not labeled appropriately, from the dairy industry and the growth hormone to genetically modified foods. I don't understand the selectivity there.
Well, I think the selectivity is more understandable when one sees the kind of power that many powerful corporate interests have. And it's a well-known phenomenon. Political scientists, sociologists have studied it, called, I think they call it regulatory capture. But over time, regulators become captured by the industries that they're supposed to regulate because they develop close ties with them. And often because of our revolving door, where after they've served, they can basically go right over to the industry and get cushy jobs. So it's to their advantage to play nice with the industry, build up industry friendship and confidence so they can then get a good job with the very industry they've been regulating afterwards. And that has happened all too often, certainly has happened in many instances in the case of genetically engineered food. But Monsanto and the biotech industry have a real tight grip on the U.S. executive branch. And a lawyer who was an FDA lawyer then went to work for a major Washington law firm representing Monsanto, then came back to the FDA in the summer of 1991 as an assistant commissioner of the FDA in charge of policy. He basically was in charge of the FDA's policy on genetically engineered food, and he was the one that was basically shutting down and covering up the scientists' objections. After giving Monsanto essentially everything they wanted, eventually he went back to work for Monsanto as a vice president for public policy, basically was their chief lobbyist in Washington, D.C. Guess what? That man is recently came back to the FDA as the food czar, is the main person in charge of food safety. Talk about a revolving door that's well oiled. He's
yes.
the prime example.
I know. And people say that genetically modified food labeling would cause an issue in interstate commerce. What do you say to that?
Yeah, it'd probably cause an issue. People would know what they're eating for a change, and there'd be real consumer choice, which is supposed to be happening as far as law. And the FDA makes manufacturers of orange juice label reconstituted orange juice, even though it's chemically equivalent to the fresh variety. They say consumers have a right to know about the processing. And yet, when we take soybeans and corn and papayas and zucchinis and process them in a far more radical and way than reconstituting orange juice, where we're actually rewriting important parts of the genetic code, where we're putting a combination of genetic material in there that has never existed under the sun before. It's completely new. the way that these genes are not just simple natural genes. They have to reconfigure them, change them so that they'll work. They're conglomerates that are artificial. And yet, the FDA is saying that is essentially the same as the natural food, and it would be a burden, unnecessary burden, in fact, illegal burden on industry to impose it. And they know that's wrong. That's just a lie, too. By law, these should be labeled, but only, and I have to emphasize this, labeling should only be an issue for foods that are legally on the market. None of these foods should be on the market anyway. Therefore, labeling is actually should be a subsidiary issue and shouldn't have even kicked in yet, because there shouldn't be a single genetically engineered food on the market yet to label in the first place.
Because it hasn't been adequately tested, and the process they use to do this genetic modification is a very messy process, as we've covered on the show with a whistleblower from Monsanto. And we really appreciate your time. Can you tell people where they're going to be able to get your book and tell us about your website?
Well, there's a link to the book already, to the preview of the book, on the website, biointegrity.org, biointegrity.org. And there will be a special website for the book when it comes out, and a lot of publicity because Jane Goodall is writing the foreword. She has stated it's without doubt one of the most important books of the last 50 years.
Excellent.
Several eminent scientists are also on the review team and have praised the book solidly. So, and perhaps I'll have a chance to chat with you again when the book is coming out, and we can talk more about the frauds of the scientific community.
Absolutely. Stephen Drucker, we have really appreciated your time. You've been a wonderful guest, and we love the information. Thank you. We love the information you've brought to the show and to our listeners. And when you're ready to come back, we would love to have you.
I would love to be back and visit with you again.
You've been listening to Food Nation Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Did you miss any part of the show? Listen anytime at businesstalkradio.net and click podcasts. And be sure to follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Food Nation Radio. Join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern for Food Nation Radio on the Business Talk Radio Network. This is the Food Nation Radio Network with Elizabeth Doherty.